Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We have been looking at Advent, and the Advent season is, it's really the coming. So Christ was born, that's what Christmas is, that's the first coming of the Lord. So now we are in a grace period. You can receive grace. Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. We're anticipating the second coming. So we're still in Advent. And I really have a word this morning to help you understand this period we're in. This message is, it's vital. And, you know, my position as a pastor is to help you in your relationship with God and help you being prepared for eternity, the second coming of Christ. That's my job. That's my calling. You see that? And so that's what this word here today is all about. I've never preached the Advent the way I'm going to today, but I know God is speaking to me, and I know you're going to get something out of this because it's straight out of His Word. It's alive, and you're going to hear something you may have not heard before, but it's going to help you if you're looking for the second coming, if you're in the Advent, right? If you're born again, this is going to be something you want. If you're not, maybe this is something you ought to get a hold of, right? It's time. Maybe you're here for a reason, right? Okay. But we always celebrate the Advent season by having someone come and light a candle and share scripture that refers to the Advent season. And so we got Ricky Paulus is going to come and share with us. Come on up here, Ricky.
Ricky leads
a men's group on Thursday night, and we've just seen Ricky grow and just really get a hold of it. God's redemptive story is being played out in his life, and so you're going to be able to relate to this today. And, you know, it's just God is good. That's all I can say. So we thank you, Ricky. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. I'm thankful to be up here. That's for sure. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So I'm going to begin with some scripture. This is Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is about John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord. So here it goes. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in a camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit and just bring to my mind the things that need to be said and for what the people need to hear today, Father. And I just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, so, with my story, I grew up in a Christian household, and in the fourth grade, I remember laying at the end of my dad's bed, and I read through the children's Bible in 3 days. I had to get through it, and the reason I say that is just to show that I know that God was on my life early and really trying to pursue me, but it wasn't long after that that I started to be attacked. You know, I was just thinking a little bit ago how right around that same time I started having dreams and of snakes. I'd close my eyes at night, and all I'd see is all these snakes, and I was so fearful. But within a year of this, my parents divorced, and my mom told me on the way to school, I was in the fifth grade. And when she told me and I got there, I didn't say nothing to her. I just kind of looked out the window. When I got there, I went and ran behind the building, and I cried, bawled my eyes out. And I didn't tell nobody. I kept it to myself, you know, even after that. I was fine. I'm good, you know. Don't we all say that sometimes? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. When really we got things we're struggling with. But this began a long process of trying to hide my feelings and using other things like drugs and alcohol to cover it up. By the eighth grade, I started smoking weed. I was stealing, going around for no apparent reason. I'd go break in cars just because it was a rush. And it just a long process of a lot of things. And to be humble, I've already mentioned this the first two services. And I didn't really tell but a handful of people in the last year that know about this. Before that, I never told a single soul. But I worked at the country concert at 15 years old. And long story, but I ended up getting completely drunk and blacked out. I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning with a man's face against me. And my pants were undone, and I don't know exactly what all happened. I don't think anything serious, but regardless, you know, that I pushed all that away, woke up the next day, and I just beat myself up. And I never told a soul, and I kept that deep down, and it you know, hurt. And I was ashamed, and I thought like it was my fault. But, you know, it wasn't my fault. I mean, obviously. And so that, again, it just began a long process of stealing and getting in trouble. And I went to the military at 18. Within a year, I was married, had a child, and then still kept, I mean, I was doing better, but I was still doing some things. Get out of the military. 6 months goes by, I get a divorce. And then I was even crazier. I'd mess around with married women and all kinds of stupid stuff. And so that led to moving to my grandma's because of the divorce and getting away from that house. And one evening, I was drinking, doing laundry, and was planning on just going to sleep. Well, somehow I ended up in my work van. I had my work van at the time. And it got wrecked on the highway. I should have died, to be honest. But that led to my dad making me move to his house. And he took me to Gimmingsburg's church in Troy. Made me go because I was under his roof, and that's just how my dad has always been. We were at church if the doors were open, we were there, and that's just how it always was growing up. But you know, I didn't really take nothing from it. At least I thought. I mean, it really built a foundation in my life, and so I definitely encourage all of you that have children, bring them. You know, it's hard for me. My son's 18, and trying to get him to come, and it's been a battle. But regardless, move forward. And so after the divorce, was in jail a couple times, faced a couple felony charges at one time, drug dealing, transporting drugs from Dayton, I mean, all kinds of stuff, okay? 2 years ago, in and out of church, too, through all this time. I'd come, I'd really wanted it, you know, but then I'd fall away. 2 years ago, all of a sudden, out of the blue, the Holy Spirit started tugging on my heart and just saying, it's time. I need you to get in there. It's time. I have a plan for you. And it was such an anxiety, like, oh my gosh, I gotta, you know, can't describe it. And I'm telling my cousin about it. It still took me 2 months to get in here, but I finally come. And that day there was a guy that got baptized. And when he got baptized, he come up out of that water and he was like, yeah, shouting and yelling. And I thought, man, I remember that excitement. I remember feeling that way. I remember feeling like I wanted it that bad. And I did, but I kept falling away. Well, at the end of the service, Ryan happened to sing a song at the end that day, and it was the song we just heard, Put a Fire Deep Down in My Soul That I Can't Contain, That I Can't Control. And I'm telling you, I started praying that, and oh my goodness, he has come through like you wouldn't believe, like God is good. You got it. Like, start, put that in your prayer tonight. I'm telling you, just do it. Like, I can't do this on my own. I needed Jesus. Like, I screw everything up. I mean, just do. But now having Jesus, that's completely changed. So, but COVID happened. So I started praying that, but COVID happened, and the church shut down for a little while. And several months goes by, and I started to slip back my old ways again, a little bit, not that bad, but I did. And I was golfing with my cousin Mike, and I was cussing up a storm. I was, like, horrible, hitting the ground, you know, the ball's going everywhere. And it was just sucking. And and I was cussing up a storm and just mad, you know, and he's like, dude, your mouth. Well, that began a whole process of me thinking, man, what is going on? What am I doing? And long story, it led me back into church, okay, within a week or two. And then I ran into a guy that I knew that did Bible studies, and I got into a Bible study. And at this point, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see what this is all about. I'm tired of screwing up and falling back. I'm going all in. Let's really let the Lord change my life. Let's see what's going to happen. Is he real? Because I'm ready to see. So one of the first scriptures I memorized was Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. I needed him to direct my paths because, obviously, like I said, I couldn't. And so lean not on your own understanding was huge. At that time, I cut out any music that was not good for me, any videos, any TV, anything that was not good for my mind. Because your mind's like a garden. You got to cultivate it. You got to take care of it. You got to get the weeds out, and you got to grow good fruit, good plants, good stuff that God gives you. You got to start getting in that word. Read that word daily. Oh, man, come on. I'm telling you, look. So I started reading that word every day. I did what the Bible said. I started fasting. I started praying. I started doing everything that the word said. I started meditating on the word day and night, being like a tree, planted by the river, just growing. I mean, I'm telling you, I gave it to God. I let him control it. I still messed up. I still made mistakes, but I brought it to him. It's like I was saying earlier, in our past life, so anytime something happens, we're always going through we have this path that we create in the woods, and we always go back to this old way. We always do these old things. But by renewing your mind, getting in that word, we start to look to the cross. We start to let it give us our new path. We start making this perfect path going to the cross. That way, when something happens, you go to the cross every time. The old path begins to grow up. You can't go back to that old path. And so you've got to renew your mind. So important, so vital. I'm telling you, if you're not in the word daily, get in the word daily. I'm telling you, even if it's 5 minutes a day, get in that word daily. That word is God. The word in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word was God. It's God. Get in it. Get in it every day. I'm telling you. Oh, God is good. Look, there's desires in your heart. You're trying to fill all these constant desires in your life, whether it's a house, whether it's a car, whether it's more money, whether it's a girlfriend, whatever it may be, but nothing can fill that desire in your heart except Jesus Christ. He is the only one, the only thing. And when he fills that hole in your heart, man, it don't matter what you're going through. Life is so good. Like, there is absolutely nothing better. My life, oh my gosh, in the last 2 years, and Fred he'll tell you, it has changed completely. God is good, and I encourage all of you to don't be on the fence. Don't have one foot in this world and one foot coming to church and trying to live both these lives. You have to be all in. Get off the fence. The devil owns the fence. If you're sitting on it, man, it hurts. Don't get off that thing. I'm telling you, you got to go all in. Give him your all, full surrender. God is good. Love you guys.
I'm telling you, we can go home now, can't we? Oh, I tell you what. That's some good stuff right there.
Amen.
Yeah. Woohoo. That's real. You know what that is? That's redemption. That's true redemption. That's Advent. We're talking about that today. I'm telling you, that's the real deal. And something that I see in him is, it's real. And that's the whole thing. He has to do his part, though, see? And that's what he's doing. He's doing his part. We're co-laborers with Christ, right? And so redemption is taking place in his life. Those areas that weren't producing, God speaks over your life with his word. See that? He calls you with his word. Vision. Revelation. He calls the word revelation and vision means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. God speaks over your life and shows you areas of your life that need to be redeemed. That's what the word vision and revelation means. A prophetic, redemptive uncovering. And God shows you, and then you can agree with God to get on board with him and help and get some help in this area of your life, and it becomes redeemed. You see that? But if you avoid that, then you stay where you're at. And you're actually, God can't use you. He can't use you if you keep pushing him away that way. See, maturity is essential in the kingdom of God. See, when you're growing, God's trying to show you a more mature you. He's trying to show you a you haven't met yet. See that? He's trying to show you a more giving you, a more merciful you, a more kinder you, a more patient you, a more graceful you. He wants to reveal that to you. But when you avoid growth, those things never show up in your life. You see that? And so you're still having a hissy fit over something you had a hissy fit over 20 years ago. God wants you to be more merciful towards people and give grace and mercy towards people. I know I'm preaching already, but let's go to our vision, and then we're going to go to our scripture. All right. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. See, that's what God does. If you're in the church that Jesus is building, he said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's what he's doing. He's built. Who's the church? People. So Paul was very successful before he became a believer. Extremely successful. Extremely intelligent. Very successful at what he did. And then God knocked him off his horse. And he got saved, and he got a vision, a prophetic, redemptive uncovering of his calling on his life. It's the same way it is for you and I. It works the same way. And this is what he's saying. I'm spitting already. Now look, he says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord now. In other words, all my education, everything I used to be great at doesn't even concern me. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I want to do his will in my life. And he says, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling. You can't get your life right and get your calling wrong. Your calling is, he's calling you to be you. He's trying to show you, remember? The you haven't met yet. Oh, you need to get a pen and write that down. He wants to show you you. And when you understand who you are, freedom. Now you're becoming who God created you to be. And now you can do his will. Right in the middle of all kinds of circumstances that are against you, situations that are against you, you can do his will right in the middle of it. And be fulfilled. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We pray that you continue to increase us in wisdom, in revelation, in understanding. We love you, Lord, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. See, that's what the first advent was. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and of his government and peace there will be no end. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Isaiah 9:6. Increase. He wants you to increase in his government, his rule and reign in your heart and your life. See that? When you're in touch with him, that's what takes place. Now watch this. Let's go to, he says, prisoner of the Lord, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Everybody in this room has been called. Everybody. Everybody on the planet is being called. Everybody? Everybody. God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. He ordained you. He knew you. He sanctified you. You see that? All those things took place before you were even born. When you're born in sin. You're born in sin and separated from God. That's what Adam and Eve, because of Adam and Eve. We all fall under that sin. We're separation from God. So now that's why we need to be born again. When we're born again, now we're in a position to be in relationship with God and to fulfill what he created us to be. You see this? And that's our calling. And he's calling all of us. It says, all things work together for the good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose, to whom he foreknew. Foreknew means before you were born. To whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Before your destiny, he had it all planned out, predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son. And that's what he's doing. He's conforming us all to the image of Christ. The character of Christ is being developed. That's what redemption is all about. Now, why you keep talking about redemption? Because this is what we need to understand if we're going to understand the second coming. So, give me, Tim, could you give me the Titus scripture? This is Titus chapter 2. And the name Titus, you know, if you're going to have a son, you ought to name him Titus. You should. You know what it means? You can make it. Isn't that a good name? You can make it. I like that name. So any of you getting ready to have a boy? There you go. There's a good name. All right. Watch this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to a few people. Huh? Oh, all? Everybody? Everybody on the planet. See this? It's made for everybody. Now look. For the grace of God has appeared to all men. Now watch this. And what teaches us? The grace of God. When you're able to give grace to people, it's teaching you something about who you are. See this? That's why it says in John chapter 1 that Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. Full of grace and full of truth. That's what he brought us. Now watch. It teaches us that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. See? That's what's going on in Ricky's life. He's no longer yielding to ungodliness. He's no longer yielding to all the worldly lust. He's turning his back on it. He says, I want you, God. You see that? And you know, we're going to make mistakes, but God is with us. Amen? That's just how it is. But life is fuller, life is better when you are in his grace. Because it's teaching you. It's teaching you how to live life. This, it teaches you how to get direction from God. You see, direction always brings protection. When I can receive direction from God, it protects me. But if I don't want direction, I forfeit the protection. You see that? I forfeit the protection he had for me. You know, we're all going to go through things like Ricky. Maybe he's not some of that stuff, but maybe some worse. Doesn't matter what you went through. God has a plan of redemption to get you to a healthy place. Now, listen to me. Ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. The word soberly means not intoxicated. So I'm not intoxicated with myself. You can be intoxicated with yourself, your business, your problems, your deal. You can be drunk on yourself, and you'll miss everything God has for you. It says we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Keep going. Looking for the blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the Advent. We should be looking every day for Christ. We should be looking. This is how we should live our life. Every day we ought to wake up and say, I'm ready. Jesus is coming today, I'm ready. If not, I'm going to go on with business. Amen? And I'm going to stay in the plan of redemption. I'm in the Advent season. I know what this Bible's talking about. I'm in a church where we're becoming biblically literate. You see, that's my heart, is I want people to be biblically literate. Understanding is something we got to understand. Come on. Hold still. Now wait. Now look. Glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, give me the next one. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. See, that's why we have to, because he says we're to look for the blessed hope and that he's going to redeem us from every lawless deed. This is the plan of redemption. You see this? The Bible says sin is lawlessness. See, you're still going to sin after you become born again. But you just don't, you know, you have God's help to get you out of it. All your sins have been washed away, but you're still going to sin. But here's the idea. God shows you a better way, and you begin to go his way. You see, God doesn't punish you for sin. You punish you for sin. You punish yourself because you're neglecting the redemption he's trying to get into your life. Do you see this? Come on, do you see this? You're going to see it. Now, please stay with me. Get your pen out and watch this. That he might redeem us. Listen, this word redeem, it means to recover ownership by paying a specified sum. You see, when we're born into this world, we're born in sin. Psalms 51, 5 and 6. We're born in sin and shapened in iniquity from our mother's womb. So we come out, we're in sin. We can't help it, right? But now that's why we need to be born again. And when we're born again, we're born into God's family. Now look, that's what makes it possible for redemption.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com. or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.